Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
Ah, hello, Lewis.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm well. How's things in your neck of the woods?
Great, Dan. I don't know if you've heard. 2020, my year. I'm okay. I'm having an all right time, all things considered.
I know. It's a rough time for all sorts of people, but we'll get into that. We've got a podcast to discuss those sorts of things. We want to thank our Patreon supporters who've jumped on board this week, including Chris Kohler and Tom Crinigan. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/irrationalfear. Another way to support Irrational Fear is by to carbon offset the emissions of your car with a Go Neutral sticker. For every $90 sticker, Go Neutral will buy 3.5 tons of offsets, which is about the yearly emissions of a car. And $5 of that comes to us. I've got a little sticker on the back of my car. People are like, that 2000 Corolla, that's covered. That's good.
It's the only bloody thing about the show that is neutral. Am I right, Dan?
We take all sorts of. Yeah, fuck you, ABC. We're taking positions for left-wing inner-city lefties. I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dicum, and Section 40. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, after 112 days, Melbourne has eased lockdown restrictions. However, some hipster cafes have remained closed to be ironic. And water is discovered on the moon, but it turns out it can't be used for anything as it's already owned by Angus Taylor. And in just under a week, the season finale of the United States of America is on. Who will get fired that week? I'm excited. It's Halloween 2020, or as we call it in Australia, Book Week. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear.
Hello, welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former sexy nurse Dan Illich. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. She's a comedian, improviser, and radio broadcaster from Sydney. Her 2019 festival show, Loose, won so much critical acclaim that it got picked up to be part of the 2020 Batch Festival at Griffin Theatre Company, which promptly got cancelled after organised realises that she was a little too loose. No, just kidding. Because of COVID-19, it's Conchita Caristo.
Oh my God, hey, it's me, the cancelled woman. Good to be here.
And she is the multiple award-winning lockdown special having dual personality performing hyphenating. It's a privilege to have the double barrel triple threat herself. Zoe Combs-Ma.
It's Zoe Nolodge, actually. That's
what happens all the time. Cool. Hey, congrats on Reputation Rehab.
Really good
Thank
show.
You.
You know who's Reputation.
I am waiting to be congratulated for it, for real. It happens all the time. We get confused for each other. People will be like, I love you on the checkout. I'm like, guys,
no,
what's
not. That's not me. That's not me.
How is Hamish Blake going? It must be crazy. You guys have such a public marriage.
He's great in the sack.
And he is one half of Wedding Magic Act, Penn and Hobber. It's Lewis Hobber.
Wow. My God. I was thinking the other day, I want to go and get my, like...
magic license?
My magic license. I want to go and get ordained so that I can marry people.
Oh, right.
Because I MC a lot of weddings, like a lot of friends' weddings. Uh-huh. Does this happen to you guys as people who talk into microphones professionally? Yep. You get asked to MC every wedding. Plus, I can sometimes DJ weddings. So if I can do the marrying, I'm a one-man wedding band.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm trying to get my magic license. So that part I relate to.
For me, it's all about the magic of love.
Coming up a little later on, we're going to be talking to Senator Lydia Thorpe about the directions tree stuff that's going on in Victoria. It's very sad stuff. We're going to be talking with her a little bit later on. But first, let's hear a message from our sponsor.
Hello, I am American friend Vladimir Putin. These unprecedented times require some precedent. So me, President of Russia, is encouraging Americans to vote President of USA. I know how dangerous election season can be. I was only candidate in the Russian election who didn't have horrible accident. So it's important to pick someone who's a strong man standing for you. That is why I endorse Joe Biden. Not because he's strong, but because Donald Trump will default on loan. And I will finally get Miss Universe pageant at very cheap price. Of course, if you were a good American patriot, you may do opposite of what I say. I don't give a fuck. USA is fun to watch burn down. I'm Vladimir Putin and I approve this message.
The first fear this week, it's the most magical time in politics. It's Senate estimates. Happy Senate estimates, everyone. I hope you're having a fantastic Senate estimates.
Thank you.
This is where we
bless
find...
Bless you.
Bless you.
With you.
And also with you.
Yeah, part thank of Senate you. Estimates is like take a whole bunch of receipts and throwing them at your friends. Yes. Bless you. Bless you. It's where we find out just how far public servants will go to protect the ministers from scrutiny. Last week, of course, we learned that you can get a Cartier watch by simply working at Australia Post and doing a good job. This week we learned that our first submarine could be launched in around 37 years. Yes.
Hell yeah.
The new subs are coming and they're going to be coming about when the iPhone 49 will be released. Yes, it's very exciting. Incidentally, the iPhone 49 will have an inbuilt submarine, so, you know, that'll be redundant. The subs are going to cost us $90 billion. iPhone 49 will only cost us $1 billion. So, you know, you do the math. Fearmongers, does it bother you that these new submarines that we're building today won't be working in our waters until another 37 years?
No, actually, because I spoke to a psychic this week and she said that in 2050 it's going to be a really good time for me. So I think that it's like actually a good time for the submarines and for me, and so that's sort of why it's happening. So I'm really stoked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you an Aquarius? Feels like that's like a sub-Aquarius?
I'm a Libra, so no.
No, no.
Oh my God,
not a water sign.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I lied. I'm a Leo.
Okay. We're being gaslit.
Sorry, I'm being such a politician right now. Sorry.
What a Leo. I feel like 2050 is going to be a pretty good time for submarines because we'll all be underwater then anyway. Yeah. But it's sort of that's 37 years. Like, I'm 36. That's like if someone, when I was born, went like, and for the birth of your child, we shall give her a floppy disk. But we're still working on it, and she'll get it just before she turns 40, and the technology may be obsolete. But what a floppy disk! Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's going to be the worst submarine ever.
Yeah,
it's but if it is Waterworld, if it is Waterworld, we'll have played our timing perfectly. Like, if it, you know, no one will be like, Australia's a desert, they're not ready, 36 years, suddenly a giant, like, polar ice cap crashes, the flood comes, we all flood to our 36-year-old submarine. It's a dream. We're all watching episodes of Seinfeld that they put on when they started. It's good news.
It'd be great. And I think people should, you know, we should go through some sort of conscription or some lottery to get on those submarines for when the end of the world is happening. That'll be great. There's 12 submarines and, you know, they could go underwater forever. It'd be great to be on them.
But honestly, what are they doing? Like, nothing takes that long. Like, nothing takes, because they say when you like make something, it's like it can be fast, cheap, or good. Like, you can have two of those
two.
Have you heard that before?
Fast,
but not three. Like, this is slow and expensive. It better be amazing. Like, the best thing ever. What are they doing?
I know. What's that thing in sex where it's like you like do it a little bit, so the climax is huge? What's that called? Edging. That's what's happening, people. Ladies and gentlemen, we are edging with some submarines. Your submarine lovers are going to blow so hard when they release.
It's like a bunch of seamen just sitting there going, oh, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
A bunch of seamen.
I believe in the Navy it's called breaching. You're breaching. Yeah.
Not as cool.
Not as cool.
Not as cool.
Not as cool.
It's Because they're building them in South Australia, aren't they?
Yeah, they
are. That's what's taking so long. Have you ever had coffee in Adelaide?
Well, my theory is they're just using it to store a bunch of South Australian wine. In 36 years, they'll just open the hatch and be like, aged and delicious.
Surprise!
And it's all worth it.
Well, you know, when this when the budget was first floated, it was around $50 billion. And then earlier this year, it blew up to $80 billion. Then sometime between the beginning of this year and Senate estimates, it's blown out another $10 billion to $90 billion. I can't help but think that we are all in the wrong game.
Yeah, it's a lot of dollars.
It's a lot of dollars, yeah.
It just made me think about, you know, when like a kid's done something wrong and then your parents like confront you and you tell them little bit by little bit and the details just get more and more. It's like the problem's getting worse. It just was like that. It's like, no, 50. Oh, sorry. Actually, I meant 7. No, it's actually 80, $100 billion. So sorry.
It does sound a lot better if you are trying to threaten another country, because $50 billion submarines doesn't cut it. But like if you tell China, well, China, we've got some $100 billion submarines. Mm-hmm. Stay away from our uranium.
They only have 37 years to catch up with us.
Did you guys hear that story a couple of years ago about that Danish guy who murdered a person on his homemade submarine?
No. And why not?
It was maybe like 2017 or 2018. I think he was Danish. He was an inventor and he murdered a journalist, cut up her body and spread it across the ocean, came back in and was like, oh, she tripped and fell. And
that's funny. Okay.
Anyway, he's in prison. Mm-hmm. He escaped from prison this week. He got out. And then they caught him and brought him back. All I'm saying is don't put him back. Bring him to Australia. Get him building submarines. He'll have them whipped up in a week.
Oh, my God.
And she tripped and fell. You feel like for an inventor, he'd be able to come up with a better excuse.
The Rational Fear.
Minister, can you tell me when we will finally have all 12 boats operational?
Mid to late 2040s.
In the 2040s.
No, it's in the 2050s, as I said.
No, you said 2040s.
Okay, I'm telling you that I'm saying 2057.
So the answer is 2057. Is that correct? That's the earliest time, Mr. Salmon.
2054, yes. Senator.
2054.
This is a rational fear.
This week's second fear, the sex cult world is mourning the loss of one of their leaders this week. Keith Raniere, the leader of the so-called sex cult Nexium, has been sentenced to 120 years in prison. Zoe, when you first told me about this story, I was shocked. I couldn't believe that anyone would join a sex cult started by a guy called Keith. What is going on here, Zoe?
Well, it's incredible. So I was shocked that you hadn't heard of it because I'm obsessed with it. This guy. So basically, if you're not familiar with it, basically Nexium is, in a nutshell, it's like a counterfeit Scientology mixed with Amway and like a Teddy Mellencamp diet with sex slavery in it. And it's like run by this guy who ran a bunch of pyramid schemes in the 90s. Yeah. And then he started this, and it's so complicated, but he started this self-help thing that then it turned out that women were in this master-slave pyramid scheme.
Wow.
And then were actually getting branded, like literally like branded with cauterizing irons on their bodies with his initials. And it's just, it's nuts. It's like, but it's also the daggiest cult you've ever heard of. Like,
yeah.
It's so daggy. It's like, it's run by this improv guy.
What?
Who's about to, no, it's, I mean, he just seems like, you know, the guy who's just
one of the guys
doing improv for way too long.
Let me brand you with my initials. Yes, let's. Oh.
It's like if the guy would like just as he's about to like bring out his acoustic guitar at a party and then goes like, you know, I won the judo national championship when I was 11. And then instead of everyone going, yeah, right, mate, they went, I'm gonna fuck him.
I'll
follow you. Brand your name onto me. It's wild.
Zoe, it is. You're totally right. The name of the whole cult is so weird. Nexium. It's spelt N-I-X-V-M, like some sort of Greek thing. It doesn't even sound like a cult. It sounds like a piece of software you're forced to log into at a call center, like at a job you really hate. Like it's so
totally. And they have all these really terrible, terrible names. It's like he used to run a pyramid scheme called consumer byline, and then had another thing that was like vitamins that was like National Health Organization. And then their main scheme was like, yeah, it's ESP. It was like executive success programs. It sounds like
boring.
Badly written.
Yeah, but how
so
do
boring.
How do people who are attracted to these boring things end up being sex slaves? Is this just an extension of what corporate culture is? Are we all people who work in corporations? Are we all part of a cult?
I think it's like what I find fascinating about it is it's like one step and then the next step, and you just work out where people's line is. It's like the next logical step. And I think once people become immersed in a world, then they just kind of go with it. It's like for instance, I think about myself, right? Like I'm a lesbian. I'm very well immersed in that world. But 2 days ago, my ex-girlfriend messaged me and said, hey, she's in the same queer parenting group as my other ex-girlfriend. And I thought, that's too gay, even for me. that's where I draw my line. I'm done. I've reached that line. But for some people, that might be like, you're like a creepy guy. I don't want to listen to you going like, oh, yeah, authenticity is being yourself and I've found the meaning for the world and join my cult. Other people, it's getting his name branded on them. Like we're all different.
It's a big step. It's a big step from like having a meeting about your KPIs to coming in and getting your boss's initials branded on you. It's very big. Like, and where do you what's that HR meeting like? Like, hey, Keith bloody branded me. He's like, oh yeah, that's part of the deal here. That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah, no, it's come in for sexual harassment training. We will need to train you all to sexually harass each other.
Yeah.
I found out about it because of the Smallville actress, Alison Mack, who was in it.
Yeah.
She was like, mega famous.
Yeah.
I was so angry. I was like, okay, so being a famous actor isn't enough. You are that freaking bored that you have to like have this crazy, secret, stupid cult with all this bull crap. It made me so furious. I was like, what the hell is up with rich people? It takes so much time. What they're doing. I'm like, how do they get literally anything else done? I have one thing in my calendar, this. Tonight, I had this. All day I was busy, stressed, just for this. And you're telling me if I had to like run a secret sex cult and get your name on my ass, I mean, I'd just pass out. So I just was really freaking out about this.
I think that's part of it. Like I feel like I've really butchered the telling of this because it's so complex. There's so many layers of it. It's like they get them in and they're like, we're doing like a self-help thing. We're going to be better people. And then they like have all these different schemes. And then one of the things that they did in order to be, so they had a master slave pyramid basically. And you only knew who your master was. You didn't know who any of the other slaves were on your level, just them. So they would you would have to message them if you wanted to eat. So you'd have to message them like, may I eat 80 calories, master? And they would write back like, yes, slave. Wow. And that was like literally like a game kind of thing that they did. And it's all these kind of things. But in order to get into that group, they had to give what they call collateral.
Right.
Which is like literally just blackmail. They were just like, give us something bad about yourself, like a nude picture or like a fact about your husband that if it came out, it'd be really bad. And so it's just like blackmail. Anyway, he's going to go to jail for 120 years.
Oh, my God.
That's actually the craziest part, that there's like a head of a sort of borderline religious organization that's actually getting prosecuted for sex crimes.
I know. Who would have thunk it?
He should have worn robes. They'd let him go.
This is A Rational Fear.
This week's third fear, Kim Kardashian turned 40. This is huge news for people on Instagram and young people, which is why we've got a token young person with us, Concetta Caristo.
Hello.
Can you fill us in? I assume because America's in the grip of COVID-19 that Kim Kardashian West just had like a quiet night with the kids and Kanye and adopted sneakers?
She absolutely did, but on an absolutely private island with 40 of her best and closest COVID friends. You know, this was so psychic. I saw this blow up on Twitter. And here's the thing. I'm a Kim K, the idea of her stan. I'm like, okay, go off queen. I love the fat butt. Like, yes, goals. But this, I was like, Kimmy, you have let us down. Number one, for being tone deaf. But number two, the dress that she's wearing in these pictures, I have to say, is fugly as hell. I was really disappointed in her. I was like, that looks like something you wear. I wore at my year 8 formal and it was bad and I regret it. So that sort of is why I'm bringing this to the foreground.
So
to you weren't
upset about her, and we weren't upset about her making all of her friends go into quarantine and then flying them to a private island, then putting people at risk at that island who work for COVID-19, and then the gross use of huge amounts of wealth, like 230,000 Americans are dying. You weren't upset about that. You're upset about...
No, it's the dress. That's why I need people to understand that the dress was ugly. You need to go on Twitter to see the dress that she wore. No, it's so stupid. And what's the best part about it, people, if you don't know, is that it's like a big meme now on Twitter, and people have been posting like the quote of what she said of being like, I know that this like is really not possible for a lot of people in the world, and that's why I'm so grateful. And it was like, yeah, queen, it's impossible for 95% of the whole world, but thank you so much for sharing it with us. And I just love memes, and I love to see those two things come together. Kim K, memes, it's just going absolutely off.
But people like forget that if you needed like a warning sign about where this was going, her birthday last year was Kenny G trapped in their house, surrounded by roses and candles, playing his saxophone while she walked around the house.
Oh, my God.
That was actually, he was forced to do that. He was a member of the Mexican cult. And he had to do that.
We hate celebrities when they pretend to be like us. We hate them when they just are being themselves. We hate them all the time. Screw them. I just thought it was funny that her hashtag was This Is 40. Like, she's like, this is 40, okay? This is what 40 is. Yeah. At 40, I might be dead. We don't know. This is 40 is not for everyone.
But this is 40. I just got my floppy disk.
Well, there's been calls for a federal ICAC, but I don't know if you know this, the federal government isn't into creating any kind of federal anti-corruption commission, but they are doing something at least.
The Morrison government has heard your calls for more accountability, scrutiny and transparency. That's why we're adding to the system of checks and balances to make sure Australia stays on the right path. Introducing ICACAC, the Independent Commission Against Kerry Ann Kennelly.
Just because I have a point of view doesn't mean I'm racist. Yeah.
ICACAC will be just as effective as a National Integrity Commission, but cheaper and more fun to watch during peak morning viewing. Every time our corruption goes public, we'll give Kerry Ann a high-profile job, then have her cancelled from that job with ICACAC.
Spend, spend, spend.
Nothing will distract the public more from sport rorts, Angus Taylor's water deals and the wholesale takeover of the government by the fossil fuel lobby like an ill-considered, misogynistic, racially charged, climate-denying rant from a fading star of the golden age of television.
I was a television equivalent of a cockroach.
ICACAC, the Independent Commission Against Kerry Ann Kennelly, guaranteeing at least one employed person has a job. To nominate a job for CAC, download the ICACAC app today.
Irrational Fear.
Murdoch uses his news media nowadays basically just as a political propaganda. You know, it protects its friends, it pushes its own barrow.
Your fear is rational.
It's been a bit of a strange week for Victoria as lockdown restrictions were lifted for Melbourne. Much of the state was celebrating, but for Jabwarang people and their supporters, it's been a week of anguish and mourning as a sacred 300-year-old ancestral tree was cut down for a highway. Joining us now is Senator Lydia Thorpe, a Jabwarang woman herself, whose mum, Marjorie Thorpe, is fighting the state government's roadworks on country in the Victorian Supreme Court. Senator, thank you for joining us. It's been a bit of a sad week for you, has it been?
Yeah, it sure has. And quite a big day today. I've been on country today. I've been out to the site. It's quite incredible to, you know, last time I was there, I was standing near those trees out in the open around a fire and enjoying everyone's company. And today I go there and it's surrounded by wire fencing and lots of big, very big men in very big high-vis vests strutting their stuff. So, yeah, it was a completely different scene that I walked into today.
Yeah, high-vis is like the red coats of 2020.
Well, yeah, they were certainly there and using their powers and the high-vis was going off today because, they weren't letting anyone near our sacred trees, our beautiful birthing tree, which is 800 years old. and our grandfather tree, which is just as old. We weren't able to access that today. It's been completely fenced off, and that was really sad.
How did your mum go today with the ruling at the Supreme Court?
Well, she did an incredible job, and we've now got a injunction which lasts until the 19th of November at 4:30 p.m. So it gives us a little bit of a reprieve and a chance to, you know, strategize and plan our next move and continue to keep the pressure on, and hopefully, if we see more lifting of the COVID restrictions, then we can get more people out there on the ground. I haven't spoken to Mum. I've tried to call her, but she's too busy to talk to me at the moment. Or she might be just a bit tired too. So, yeah, she's not answering my calls.
That's super interesting. What kind of strategy do you think you can put in place between now and the 19th of November to change the course of the state government?
Well, we've just got to mobilise people as best way we can in, you know, under the COVID restrictions, and that's always a challenge. But that would be the, you know, I think we've mobilised a lot of people in this last week. But we also need, you know, there's some strategies that we can use in Parliament, both state and federal parliaments, and there's also other legal avenues that we can take through the courts. So we're just going through all of that at the moment. And we'll come out fighting even stronger and harder and with many, many more people behind us.
When you and your Greens colleagues took a motion to the floor in the Victorian Parliament to kind of raise questions about the destruction of the tree, you mentioned in your piece last week that you were jeered. Mm. Is that right? You were actually jeered in Parliament for bringing this up?
Well, apparently so. I'm not in the Victorian Parliament. I'm now in the Federal Parliament as a senator. So that was actually taken to the Victorian Parliament. And, yes, they were. And I watched that back with Sam Hibbins asking some questions of the Premier yesterday, I think. And, yeah, you know, we're treated like it's a joke. It's just... we're not taken seriously. Even the non-Aboriginal people asking the questions in the Parliament aren't taken seriously. So I don't know whether the government and the opposition think that this is a joke. They obviously haven't been to this area or understand or even given the time to learn about the stories and the connection. I'm sure that their families and their children would really appreciate that and give them a true identity to the nation that has the oldest continuing living culture right here.
When do you think our leaders will wake up to the fact that Aboriginal history is the history of this country, and there will be at least some kind of modicum of respect for it?
Well, we've been waiting a long time so far. We're very patient people, we are, and we're very forgiving and conciliatory people, I think. You know, I think people are becoming more aware and more open to learning. I really don't know. I think that they probably need to check out their privilege, check out, you know, how they can decolonize just a little, just to open up this country to what it truly is. And that is a caring country with beautiful landscapes and beautiful people and connections and stories. It's not something that you just read in a book or watch on a television program. It's actually something that is still very live and well today. And hopefully they get to see that. And look, in the short time that I've been a politician, I've had those yarns with other politicians on both sides of the fence. And they've come round and they've been far more respectful and far more open to listening and learning from us. So, you know, I have hope that we can do that and change the nation. That's what I'd like to see anyway.
Concetta, do you feel like, I'm tokenising you as a young person. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like that young people are much more attuned to Aboriginal culture as Australian culture than even people 10 years older than you?
I think yes. Like, I think, you know, it's something that, when I think about young people, it's like we're more aware, we're more accepting, we're more like keen to understand, and like things change so quickly. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I feel like you tend to feel with older generations, they can feel they don't want to listen. They're stuck in their ways and that kind of thing. Like it's young people that care and want to mobilize, that like in people younger than me that like inspire me and are learning and understanding why it's so important and like not something that you can just, you know, take as a joke, like the government is, or not take it seriously or forget about it or anything like that.
Senator, do you mind if I ask a question? This might be a bit practical, but as someone who wasn't in Victoria and wasn't aware that this destruction was going to happen until it happened, it seems crazy to me that it's a road like this can turn, you know, like you can turn a road. This is not an immovable project. What's the logic that they have here for not doing this?
Well, that's a good question. There were many alternatives put to the government which they did not want to entertain. One of their own Vic Roads employees, in fact, agreed with one of the alternative routes, and I'm not sure whether that person still has a job or not. But, you know, there were alternatives, and it's not that Japurung people want to stop anyone fixing the road to make it safer for people. It's not like Japurung people don't want the highway to be widened. But we just wanted to sit down and negotiate a way where we could protect significant cultural heritage and have a road and keep people safe. But that was never afforded to Japurung people. And they can say that they've consulted through their processes and all of that, but that simply has just not happened.
Senator, have you pitched at all a series of $90 billion submarines to ferry cars under?
Well, you know, the Minister, Susan Ley, of the federal government, in fact, protected a satellite dish in the same week that she declined protecting Japurung country. So that's where people are at in terms of our politicians, and that's what we have to change.
Craig Quatermain, who's an Aboriginal comedian, he said on Facebook this week, he said, "Australians won't realise what they've lost until they see the Avatar sequels." And I felt like that was that was really sad, but a really great joke.
And look, I love the Avatar film, and I thought of the Avatar film as soon as that tree got cut down.
Yeah. It looks like it was in the Avatar film. It was so special.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was so weird. Like what Lewis just said before was so interesting. Like as someone who lives in so-called Sydney, I had no idea this was happening until, you know, it was far too late. And it's sad that this moment has had to happen for us to be awakened to this cultural moment right now. And perhaps a lot more of Australia know what's happening on Japurung country, and we can pitch in to help somehow.
Yeah, look, it's a bit like George Floyd, hey, with Black Lives Matter, and it took a black man in another country to be killed by police for this country to wake up and realise that we have a problem here too. So I just think that, you know, to mature as a nation, we really need to start telling the truth and learn our true history so that we can move forward together.
Senator, thank you so much for joining us on Irrational Fear tonight.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, that is all we have time for Irrational Fear tonight. Big thank you to Senator Lydia Thorpe, and a big everlasting thanks to our fearmongers tonight, Zoe Foster-Blake, Conchetta Carista.
Conchetta Foster-Blake, actually.
Conchetta Norton Lodge and Lewis Coombs Maher. do you guys have anything to plug, Zoe? Do you want to plug anything?
I'm doing a couple of shows in real life in Sydney as part of the Two Queers Festival at Giant Dwarf coming up. So that's I think in like the 14th and maybe 12th and the 14th of November.
And if you have Stan, be sure to look at Zoe's Stan lockdown special. Not, I mean, the stand-up specials on Prime are good too, but the lockdown special is particularly off the wall and just a genius bit of content that I've ever seen in my entire life. So check that out from Zoe Norton Lodge.
That was actually real. I was going to say.
Sorry, Kuzma. Conchetta, do you want to plug anything?
I have no shows like Zoe, but I'll lean into being a young person and plug sort of my socials. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's Conchetta Worldwide, and Twitter at Conchetta Cristo, and sort of watch me go off there live every day.
And Lewis, do you want to plug anything?
No, Dan, same old, still doing radio. If you can, you don't need to listen though. I'll be back next week.
No, we will.
Oh, thanks, gang. Yeah.
Every day.
Actually, if you listen to the show today, you would have heard Zoe Norton Lodge talking all about it. I've had.
That was me.
This episode was produced by Jacob Round on the Teppanyaki Timeline. Contributions from our supporters via Discord include Peter McNeil, David Green, Peter Lawler, Dave Bluestein, Maddie Palmer. Also a big thanks to Road Mikes, Bertha Foundation, Go Neutral, our Patreon supporters like you, and please like, share, subscribe and rate and all that stuff. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.